You're listening to
V for Vertigo,
episode 56.
Something kind of vertigo going on here. I've been seeing fables in my dreams. I've been laying scalped out here for hours in this swamp in New Orleans. I've been reading spells from books of magic, trying just to help blaze trails to you. Feeling like a loser, so, so tragic. Feeling like I'm left to preach at food. All the time spent moving, oh so slow. It's something kind of vertigo.
Hello and welcome to V for Vertigo, where I'm in the air everywhere, streaming on the vast worldwide webs. And this podcast is one man's journey into the world of all things Vertigo comics, because everything else is just picture books. I'm your host, Mark. I had a relaxing weekend, but eventually showered 30-some-odd hours later. Johnson. And this week's review will cover Human Target Final Cut by Peter Milligan and Javier Pulido. Pulido? Mi Español sucks now. Anyways, as I say every week in every show, that this episode will be a short one. And it might be, my friend said he's coming over, but because he got to drop something off for me, I got to pay him, but he runs on Asian time. That means he's always fucking late. Everyone's late, except for the one chick I saw today. She was on time. She's always on time. I don't think I have a chance with her, though. That was very depressing. It might be the age thing. Still hung up on that. It might be I have no game thing, or might be she has a wall or some other thing, or maybe it's just me. Who knows? So, if you're good with women, drop me a line, because I have no idea what the fuck, what the dildo, oh no, it was what the dealio, but, anyway, so, like I said, this weekend's been alright, today could have gone a little better, to be honest, and, you know what game I got last week, I don't know when the fuck I saw my friend. I saw like four groups of friends, four different times. That was a busy ass Sunday. I think it was last week. Anyway, I got Dragon Age Awakening, baby. So I'm going to spend a few minutes talking about that and slight spoilers for Dragon Age Origins. And if you don't want to be spoiled, skip ahead 5 minutes. You know the drill by now, people. Starting now. So, Dragon Age Origins. Loved it. First BioWare game. Awakening, really like it. Have some problems with a few things. The first thing I have a problem with is the title. I'm about 12 hours in. Apparently I'm anywhere from 3 to 8 hours to be done. I heard it's 15 hour 20 game. And I'm trying to do all the side quests, take my time. So, problem I have with the name. You think it's called Dragon Age Awakening. It's actually called Dragon Age Origins Awakening. Makes no sense. Marketing and sense-wise, they should have stuck with Dragon Age had been the main title. And every subsequent game, Dragon Age Origins, Dragon Age Awakening, Dragon Age Enlighten, Dragon Age Revolt, Dragon Age whatever. Not Dragon Age Origins, insert name here. That's stupid. But my biggest problem is the fact that I haven't played Mass Effect 1 or 2, but I hear 2, aside from being more refined as sequels to video games are, there's actually a connection between 1 and 2. It's on my list to do, to play. Although I'm really busy right now. I don't know if I want to start another game. So, like, there was a character in 1 that you could have saved or died or killed or whatever, and depending on what you did, you're shit in 2. There's not... See, this is really hard when it comes to Awakening. Awakening isn't a sequel. It is an expansion. Right? So, instead of being 40, 60, 80 hours, I've heard 10, highest 25. And instead of paying 60, well, to be fair, I got the first one free and the second one I paid 20. But instead of paying 60 for it, you pay 40 for it. But my biggest problem is that it doesn't seem to connect, alright? At the end of Origins, there were a few choices you could have made. You could have died, and apparently, even though you died, you could have played your character in the sequel. which would have been all right if it had been along the lines of they just faked his death. They didn't explain it. Like, I would personally would want that if it was we faked his death, but he had the Darkspawn taint, which you see prevalent in here, which is kind of cool. Story's cool. He had the Darkspawn taint, and we had to keep it hush-hush. And then people kind of don't know where you are. But that would have been a lot of fucking work, considering how long Origins took to make. And the second ending, I mean, you save the day in either ending, and whatever you do, you save the day. But I was given a choice to rule. And since I'm playing a chick, I was given a choice to be queen. Right? So theoretically, I don't know how that goes, but you could rule. And I don't, it might go off different. I really don't think it does, but if you could go off and be, I rule, and then I come back, or like, you're king or queen, and it's like, sire, we have a problem here, we need you to handle it, you're the hero of the first one, you killed the archdemon, whatever, that would be cool. I don't see that happening here. Now, the third option, and what I chose, was to walk off with Liliana, That bard chick, my lesbian hookup, go off into the sunset with her. From the talking, you can go off into the sunset with any fucking buddy or by yourself. And what would have been cool is, say I was traveling and they just, even if they mentioned it, even though the end of Origins was pretty gay with all the text, if they had mentioned me and her broke up or I'm on my way to see her, but what would have been better if she was in here? That's my other downfall to Awakening, by the way. But anyways, if one of those things in it, and it hinted at that I was away or I'm just passing through and then they need my help and then I get caught up in things, or if she's with me, she'd want to help, that would have been so fucking awesome. And none of that happens. So my second biggest gripe is that the characters I've spent, I think game time 65-ish, real time probably 70-something. I died a lot in the beginning. I didn't know what I was doing. But, and then checking multiple choices and see how that go. So, yeah, my biggest problem is you carry over, your DLC doesn't, which is fine. Because I was doing the DLC and I wouldn't equip myself with the items. Because I'm badass. I'm a badass mage, man. I tell my friends that, I'm like, oh, no, I'm not Arcane Warrior. But you don't fuck with me. I will fireball, blizzard, Kona, icicone, my hammer fist, lightning bolt your ass, mind blast you. I will kick your ass. You come near me, I'll hit you from far away. My mage is pretty badass. So I'm badass. I think I started off at level 22-ish. And then the game, I heard you start off at level 18 if you choose no new character. And yeah, but Ogryn, the dwarf guy, he's funny. He carries over. Which is fine, because I never really used him anyway. No one else carries over. I didn't see Alistair, quote-unquote. To be fair, I didn't nominate him as king. I didn't get married. It's probably my bad. I killed Loghain. I didn't want to do it over again. I think I accidentally pressed A. Whatever. But, I mean, you see appearances. And another thing bugs me. The mage you pick up, it's basically Alistair. Same voice actor, same white guy. Different attitude, but you're like, dude, you're fucking Alistair. I mean, you get cameos. Wynn's a cameo, and I think Brago's a cameo. Like, that's cool, but I would kill to use other guys. And there's apparently no sex in the story. The relationship building, I think, is worse, because you run around town or said dungeon, and then you see some that looks like you can inspect it, and you inspect it, and then a cutscene happens. Same thing happens at your keep. And instead of talking to them and teaching them, that would have been better if you could do that. But then there's no sex, so what are you going to do? I do like the Vigil's Keep aspect. That's very Assassin's Creed 2-ish. I've not played it, but it's very Assassin's Creed 2-ish. That part is cool. I said 5 minutes, I meant more like 10. So, well, the game's good, but, I mean, if you're not a fan, you gotta play the first one. It's really hard to judge it, because it is an expansion. If it, as a sequel, Awakening fails. As an expansion, it does perfectly fine. Alright? Could have been more. If when they make the second one, hope it comes out in this gen. I hope that there's more of a tie between Dragon Age Origins and whatever the sequel is. Or Awakening and whatever the sequel is. One of the two. That's enough Dragon Age talk. Suppose we should get to the news.
Vertigo News.
So, there's one bit of news this week. News item I found newsworthy. If you didn't want to pay the dollar for Sweet Tooth number one, and I don't blame you, I would probably give you my copy if I saw you. You can now read it online. I have a link for it, and I'm not looking forward to it. Amazing. I don't know. Can someone out there please explain to me the love of Jeff Lemire? I don't get it. Where'd I get that from? I don't know. He's not overrated. He's not Joss Whedon. But, yeah, if you want to read the first one online, it's not the written number one that blew me away. So, there you go. That's all I got for the dudes.
And now it's time for the rundown.
So, like I said in the intro, and if you're reading the ID3 tags, whatever, good for you. I'm covering Human Target Final Cut by Peter Milligan and Javier Pulido. I'm butchering it. So I didn't write down summary notes. I didn't feel like it. I've been busy. I may not do it, but according to the back of the trade, I said Christopher Chance is hired to impersonate an aging film actor. And it seems to be open and shut case. Proves nothing of the sort. What's weird is that his success from that case leads to the attention of the grief-stricken father. Still not entirely sure how he knew. And then he would do anything to get his kidnapped son. And then Chance finds himself impersonating some douchebag named... Did I write that down at least? Something Day? Nah, I wrote that down. No, scroll down. Davy King? Some screen name named Davy King. This sounds confusing. It was when I read it. If you wanted to make sense, it was like Wolverine Origins if you turn off your brain, it was right? So, yeah. No, the trade really doesn't say much, actually. It's something about noir. So he impersonates Davy King. I'm going off the top of my head now. He impersonates Davy King. Gets into some shit. Almost gets killed for it. That plot, he finds out Davy King's just a little worm. Really weird. Why were you there in the first place? Didn't get it. Father finds out that where the kid is at. The whole trade, he's like, where's the kid? Where's the kid? No one gives a shit. Finds out the father kidnapped him after almost getting killed. Kid's partner, Chase the child star, kills the kid. Frank, as his dad, gets killed himself. And for whatever reason, Chance takes over the identity of Frank because he quote-unquote loved the mom. Or he has a nervous breakdown while doing this. And somewhere along the line, the chef, restaurateur person, you find out he set him up for Emerald and he wanted to have him killed because he figured that brings out the best in Chance. Makes sense. Yeah, no. When you read it, makes less sense. You don't really give a shit. So. This final cut might have made more sense. Because it's part of the new Human Target Chance Meetings trade. If you read that, don't need to read Final Cut. And you don't need to listen to me. Turn your podcast off now. Now, if you haven't, it's very interesting. The first thing that stood out to me were the glossy pages. I don't honestly know if the glossy pages are going to be in the new trade. It's hard to tell. I mean, the two different stories, two different trades, and the artist in that one died. This trade was a lot. $19.99 cover price, 96 pages. If you go to InStockTrades.com, where you can order the first Chance Meetings trade, you can get it for 37% off. InStockTrades.com, the unofficial sponsor of V for Vertigo. Now, first cut would have been a lot, hell of a lot better if you've never read it before. Final Cut would have been better had you read the Chance Meetings trade. Because Final Cut is based on Chance having a fucking mental breakdown. And there wasn't that much of a build-up here. You see, he's just like, I'm David King. I did this. That was David King. No, I'm Christopher Chance. And you're like, huh? How does that happen? Like, with the previous trade, and I forget what it's called, you can easily see the beginnings of him going mad. So, but you need to read that part to read this one. You couldn't read it. Like, you can kind of, you would just guess, like, oh, yeah. I mean, taking other people's identities might drive you a bit batty. So, there you go. Now, there was a lot of telling in this trade. A lot of Chance is telling, because it is very first-person detective-type blade. So, it felt rushed, and I don't know if it was that, or it was the fact that it was told. And to be honest, I didn't give a shit. Like, when I butchered people in Awakening, now, I kind of felt bad. I was trying to persuade him to do something else. And I had to kill a bunch of peasants. I felt bad there. I was like, even though I'm not walking the good line, I'm kind of walking the bad line. I'm like anti-hero. Give me what I want. I want gold. I'll do whatever you want. Don't badmouth me. That's the line I want. I felt more bad for those peasants I never seen before. Because I was like, I'm going to kick your ass. And I did. And I was like, don't make me use a spell. Oh, well. Lightning bolt. To the face. So I didn't feel killer about the people here. The Final Cut did start off well. It was like, boom, boom. I squeeze Gats till my clips is empty. Don't tempt me. You know, a couple people died straight off the bat. But then I was like, I didn't give a shit about him. So what are you going to do? Now, part of me kind of liked the fact that Chance got injected with drugs. Because there was finally a reason that he started to think he was someone else. I mean, even though it was annoying, he kept switching back and forth. But then the problem was it never, like, that happened way late in the game already. You're like, where he's like, am I David King, I want to be Frank, I love her, blah, blah, blah. Like, that happened way late. I don't know, it's very hard to judge this, like, Awakening, because of the fact that, yeah, it's this Final Cut is like an expansion, right? I don't know if Peter Milligan originally wanted it to be like this, but it is now part of the Chance Meetings trade, and that was very kudos. So I'm having a really hard time here trying to be like, I don't want to be like, it's not bad taking in the whole. But on its own, it's like, am I supposed to judge it on its own? Because there's no two on the side of this book. But it is part of a larger story. At least the Chance Meetings trade is. I have no idea what the next trade is. So, I don't know. To be honest, I wanted Final Cut to know more about Chance's background. Like, the first story started off fine, but I would have liked to know, and hopefully it's covered in another trade or two. I don't know how many are in Human Target. I wanted to know more about Chance's training, how he learned what he learned, and how he's able to do it. More importantly, why. In the TV show, you're starting to get that now. And that's not interesting. It's pretty interesting. Of course, that Chance is completely different from this Chance. That Chance is a little more sane, a lot more jovial, and this Chance is very, not emo, but he's nuts. He's very serious, and he doesn't know who he is. Now, the one thing I did like, even though I didn't like Davy King, I normally hate this trope, is that I like the fact that it was a story within a story. Like, Davy King's shitty screenplay is called Final Cut. And that's cool. That's cool to me anyway. Might get annoying. And it wasn't like the fact that Chance would read the screenplay that he suddenly knew what was going to happen. Because that would have made no sense, right? Of course, I didn't understand not characters' motivations, but their reasonings. Because Davy King wanted $250K. He's trying to extort it from someone, I forget. And to launch a movie. Like, yeah, you could make a movie for $250K. It's going to be a real shitty low-budget movie. It may not make its money back. It may get you to make another movie if they like it, regardless. But it won't be as big as Paranormal Activity. It won't be as big as Halloween. It won't be as big as The Blair Witch. And it's like, dude, it's whenever this was written, 2000 and whatever. So, I don't know. What confused me, another thing I didn't like, was the fact how Davy King and Frank, they seemed to be some kind of trained killer taking out people left and right. Sure, as y'all know, well, maybe you y'all don't know, but killing people is easy. Let's be honest. Killing people and getting away with it, it's a bit trickier. So, I mean, you figure they would have got caught, left some fingerprints, made a mistake along the way, and boom, CSI's on their ass. Or Law and Order, SVU. Or one of the other bajillion shows. Now, nevertheless, the story still kind of had me. Even though it didn't make any sense until the end. That made no fucking sense, and it felt completely rushed. Because through the 90-some-odd pages, I had forgotten about the son, even though he was constantly mentioned. And then it turned out he wanted to kill his father when his friend kidnapped him for gambling debts. And that wasn't really showing either. You're just like, oh, he felt like he had to have a reason for what he did. Did gambling sound good? Javier's like, see, gambling sounds good, Senor Milligan. That was a bit racist. Whoa, microphone's about to fall over. Now it's rocking back and forth. Great. So, all right. I'm not cleaning any of that up. So if it sounds weird, so be it. But that was close. So yeah, it's just like he had to have a reason. At least he wasn't like doing things to the son. That would have been weird. I mean, it was a terrible way to end that because First Cut wasn't really about Frank and his son, whose name I fucking forgot. It wasn't about any of that. It wasn't about the relationship. It was there were beginnings of that and the third-rate actor, action star, plotline, and the Davy King. But really, Final Cut should have been more about Chance losing his fucking mind. It would have made a hell of a lot better. It would have made stronger. Instead, you get bits and pieces of that told, and then there's other plot lines, and you're like, well, maybe if he build it up and then interconnected. And see, this is what happens when you have too many plot lines. Case in point, episode 1, or episode 3, but 3 at least tied together. Not as smoothly as episode 4 and 5. Ooh, Chimichanga is coming back to hit me. But on episode 1, you have four different... This is one of the major failings. It's not fucking Jar Jar Binks or little Jake Lloyd. This is the one of the major failings of episode 1. You have four different plot lines with four different emotional tones. So you have the guys that you don't care about fighting in some magical room. And then you got the throne room stuff. And you got little Anakin shooting the ship. And you got comedic Jar Jar stuff. None of it comes together. None of it. And they all have different tones. This kind of felt like that here, but not as bad. If you're listening, you're not as bad as George Lucas, Peter Milligan. But you're not as rich as him, so take that for what it's worth, you know? So, I know I told the ending. I didn't get it. It's like, Chance? In like a page or two, he says he loves whatever her name is, Mary. I just say it's Mary. I don't know what the fuck it is. Like, he loves her. He's like, I could get him wanting to be Frank because Frank from the outside has a good life, but it doesn't make any sense because Frank or Chance easily understands people and what they do and their little quirks and fables and the things they don't normally show to the world. But then he thinks Frank has the perfect life, and it's like he doesn't have the perfect life. So I didn't understand that. Is my friend coming? He would be late. So I didn't get, like, why would you want to become Frank if he's, you know, his gambling debts and what he did to his son? It's weird. I mean, I wouldn't mind I would understand getting with the woman, but that's it. And to be fair, it's kind of a cliffhanger for me, so I'm half tempted to read the next trade. Is there someone outside? Omir, are you here? I guess not. So, my Mark Critic score. I want to give it a 2. I want to give it a 3. It's not a bad trade, but it's not good. And a 3 would be like, eh. Which is more what it is, eh. But standing on its own, like if I didn't read the previous trade, I probably might have given it a 2. 2.5, who cares? There you go. For the people that care about scores. Now I gotta go. Thanks for listening, everybody. As always, appreciate it if you left me some feedback on iTunes. And there won't be an episode next week because I'll be at WonderCon. I think that's Wally's World. Wally's World. Whatever. Now, I'm not sure if I have any Bay Area listeners. Or if you are going to come out for WonderCon, you all should. It's a great convention. Although this year is rather... I'm just going... there's not going to be a show next week. I don't care how many days I am or not going. It's also Easter... whatever, Sunday. But if you are, let me know. We can meet. I am a jackass, but I'm actually a likable jackass. Unless you be around me too much. But you're not going to, so whatever. Oh, I got a joke for you. Speaking of Palm Sunday. So, stop me if you've heard this one before, ladies and germs. But if mothers celebrate Mother's Day and fathers celebrate Father's Day, do single people celebrate Palm Sunday? But that wasn't that bad, was it? Anyway, so next episode's pick will be Unknown Soldier Haunted House. And I better pick up some trades at WonderCon because I only got one more trade after that and I have no idea what I'm reading. As always, questions, comments, suggestions, donations. No, well, maybe not donations. You can email me at vertigocast@gmail.com. Go to thecomicforums.com. I think they were up and they might now be down again. It's very annoying. And you can follow me on Twitter, see my pathetic love life, all my ramblings about Fast and Furious. Vroom, vroom. It was better than the second. Better than Tokyo Drift? I don't know. Hellspire. Yeah, that's for Twitter. And remember, you can't lose what you don't put in the middle, but you can't win much either.